To the Mel Kay Show. I'm very excited. My guest today, I've known her for quite a while. She is an exceptional person that is out there, and she's really all about healing and fighting through the darkness. And a lot of us are feeling very demoralized, a little bit nervous about the future, lots of anxiety. So I wanted to bring her on because she has a new book out, and I'm very excited to talk about it. Thank you for joining me, Brianna Lapido. How are you, my friend?
Great. Thank you so much for having me on. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. But when I saw that your book came out, because I've known you and I've watched you, and of course, her husband is the Surgeon General of Florida, who's also a friend of the show and has done amazing, amazing work. He has a great book out himself, which he gives his wife a lot of credit because, you know, he has his own journey as all of us. And I want it. Brianna to tell a little bit about her background, and then we can kind of get into some of the deeper digging into how we can get through this time with a little less darkness and a lot more light. What do you believe is the agenda of those that seek to keep people in darkness, especially children? Because a lot of people might look at the LGBTQ plus or the CRT or the DEI as separate things. But I really believe that it's a lot darker than that. And you have a book out kind of talking about confronting that darkness. So when you're watching that with all the work you've done, especially with children and healing, what do you think that is about?
Unfortunately, it is a lot darker than any one singular piece of this agenda. The agenda, at the end of the day, is to separate us from our divine nature. It is to, and by the way, I would not have said this 10 years ago. I would have thought myself a terrible thing. But at some point, with all of this evidence and fact and data mounting, the only acceptable and reasonable conclusion to come to is that the powers that be, these shadow energies that have actually dominated Earth for many generations at this point, none of this is new. And in some ways, I thank God for the pandemic for bringing so much of it to the surface, because it has to come to the surface before we can send it back to the light. Right. So we have to transmute global trauma consciousness, not just our individual trauma. But the goal is quite literally to part us from our divine light, from the reflections of God that we all are. Humans are incredibly powerful creator beings, but most of us don't know that, or I should say don't remember that, because we live in a society that teaches us from the get-go, we're victims, we're helpless, we need external forces to validate us and to tell us how to think and what to think, how to dress. I can't believe that influencers are a thing.
I know.
Reprehensible to me to tell someone that they don't know what is best for their own body, their own journey, their own mind. This is crazy. Yeah. The truth is, nobody needs anyone else to tell them what's best for them. We are all on a journey of our choosing. We all have our intuition, which is our God-given voice, that gift, that beautiful light that leads us along our divine path and never fails us. But we live in a world that has created an amazing amount of noise that makes it very difficult to hear that voice. We have the mainstream media and social media and catastrophes, right, whether real or created.
Right.
Politics, which is generally theater. Right. One disaster after another. The pandemic is a perfect example. And between that and creating a world where it's nearly impossible to get ahead financially if right. you are an honest person. And as you said, basically everyone at this point is walking wounded. There isn't a person on the planet right now who hasn't experienced not only their own trauma, but many generations worth of intergenerational trauma in their ancestral line that was never healed. And unfortunately, all that darkness makes us very easy to manipulate. So yes. we've fallen for this narrative that we need to be told what to do. We need to be shown the way because we're helpless, when the reality is we are anything but. And their greatest fear is that we remember that.
Right. And I love that you're saying, remember that, because this is what I say a lot too, which is this spark, because I talked to your husband about it too, obviously, but this whole agenda of transhumanism and removing God and this kind of global governance idea of track and trace and digitalizing everything and everyone being kind of in a social credit score based gulag. It really is about ending that spark of genius that you're born with from God and eliminating potential and creativity and imagination and ingenuity and all these gifts. I always say that the greatest computer ever created is the human brain. And what it really wants to do is to turn that off. And, you know, this is, like you said, has been going on for decades. There was a whole, if you go back and really look at the education, Department of Education, but certainly the Rockefeller-based education model was all about creating basically factory workers. And, you know, that living up to your potential, regardless of all the talk, was really only for their children or for a certain group of people that they deemed, you know, worthy, where this has totally been broken. But we had to see a lot of this, like you're saying. Now, you went through, you guys were on the front lines. Your husband was in the ER when the COVID pandemic was unleashed on the world. And he was very early on seeing things in his world that he thought weren't right. He knew something was very wrong. But when you talk to him, he says that it was really you that encouraged him to, because it was very difficult for doctors and scientists that even mentioned anything. It was a very hard time, I think, for the people that saw those signs. And apparently, according to him, and I've heard this before, you really were the one that said, you know what, you got to follow your gut, you got to speak out, and look at what's happened since. God has certainly listened and brought him to a place to have an even louder voice. But tell me about that period, because all the work that you've been doing with healing suddenly became a global issue.
Yes, and that would never have been possible without the trauma that we both experienced that ultimately led us not only to each other, right, but then to this healing, to really taking that work on. So I'm on the naturopathic side of things. I think Joe has always considered me kind of a crazy hippie, especially for the first 10 years of our relationship. I'm much more into herbalism and homeopathics and healing, and always was. And right, he's always been this brilliant scientist and doctor. I mean, Harvard Medical School, PhD on top of that. And both of us are well-educated, but we certainly have very different perspectives on the world. And prior to dealing with our trauma, it was hard to have a conversation about anything medical, honestly. Right. Even when it came to whether or not to vaccinate our own children back then, not now.
Right.
And have a difficult time finding common ground. But after, and I should have mentioned earlier, the bulk of both of our trauma was sexual abuse. And I do not think it's an accident that we both had that experience and came together, reflected that experience back to each other, and ultimately forced each other to deal with it, because our relationship nearly imploded. And it wasn't because of the two of us or our relationship. Right. It was everything we were carrying around.
Right.
And then, of course, all of my ancestors, I come from a long line of sexually traumatized women. I believe he comes from a long line of abused people. And now, in retrospect, I believe we took on this work to interrupt that pattern, if you will, break that chain for our entire ancestral lines so that we could move forward powerfully and put our children into the world free of that type of baggage or karma. So once we did that work, and the funny thing is, my session, my first session with that healer, one session being a week, so it was a large undertaking.
Right, that's awesome, though. Great.
It was amazing. But yeah, it ended 1 week before the lockdown started. So I can only call this divine timing, because I would have responded very differently,
right,
to lockdowns. Oh, and I think my gut would have always been aware that something was very wrong. And I had been feeling something coming for years. I couldn't put my finger on it, and I couldn't have explained it if you had asked me to at the time. But I knew that I was here for some greater purpose. I knew that I had been through what I'd been through as a child so that I would learn to stand in my own truth, regardless of what external pressures I was dealing with. And I knew there was a reason, but I had no idea what it was until the lockdowns. And COVID, or whatever it is,
Exactly.
Had blown away back in November. We had been seeing sick people. Joe had been seeing them in the hospital treating them since at least November. And our whole family had gotten it right away because he was treating patients. Right. And for us, mercifully, it was no big deal. I think my kids had a mild fever for a day, mm-hmm. and us for two or three. So right. I assumed it was something else they brought home from school because they do that. And it was nothing. So when, as this talk of lockdown started to escalate and this hysteria set in, I started to realize that this was the thing that I had been anticipating, that I had been waiting. And even though I couldn't put the pieces together, I didn't know what the grand plan was. I knew this was their opening salvo, or the first successful one, rather. I mean, they've right. tried this before.
Exactly.
And I really thought in my great naivete, like, no one's going to fall for this. Everyone's fine. We're fine. There's no reason to, this is LA. We just moved from New York. I'm like, no. They're not really going to lock down.
Right.
And I remember on the day before the actual physical lockdown, we were out with our boys. We have three little boys, and we are sitting out in Santa Monica at one of our favorite restaurants on Montana Avenue, where everybody sits outside, just enjoying the day. And we were the only people out there. And I was looking around thinking, this can't really be happening, because this requires the agreement of everyone. You would have to buy this to participate, and they're not going to do it, right? And Joe was like, I don't know. And anyway, fast forward through a whole lot of nonsense, when 2 weeks, of course, of lockdowns became 2 months and 2 years in Los Angeles. And when we realized that the schools were shutting down for good, we panicked, because we had a newborn and two young boys at the time, one in pre-K and one in first grade. I was working at Stanford with the new baby, right. typing and everything. Joe was at the hospital working. It was already insane. I thought, well, now what are we going to do? So I started homeschooling the boys on top of everything else. Which we continued to do even after they restarted school with screens, because that was ridiculous. And at the time, we were living in a tiny condo on Sunset. We had no space. We had no yard. And you can't have three kids and not have outdoor space. So we never stopped going out. We'd go to the park every single day. And people, I've been spit on. I've had the cops called on me, been screamed at on a daily basis, all for being outside at all and or with no mask.
So crazy.
I know. But the great thing about it was that even though, 99% of the people in LA disappeared, the people that were still out were very easy to identify as members of our soul tribe.
Right, exactly. Same with us in New York City. We were the same way.
Exactly. Yeah, it was a blessing. We hadn't made real friends the entire time. We'd only lived there a couple of years, but we hadn't made any really deep connections.
Right.
Certainly not as deep as we're used to. But when the pandemic hit, we made some of the best friends we've ever had. They're like family to us now. And we spent that whole time together. We did birthdays and holidays because our families turned their backs on us. Right. Our work colleagues, most of our friend group, especially poor Joe, coming from his world. I'm in academia as well, but it's different in medical science. There's almost an inverse correlation between the amount of education you have in that area and how crazy you got. Yeah. And so people that had been celebrating him, I mean, this man had 4 NIH grants, I think younger than anyone else in the country, was a tenured professor leading incredible research. He's always been a star in his field.
Right.
And overnight he became a pariah.
Yeah. I want to say he's also, because my sister was in that field too, a scientist and doctor at UCLA as well. It is a very, very closed environment there. And they are very, it is a club, and to have him in that world being on his level. But the thing about him was he's an exceptional, and I believe one of the best data scientists. And this was a situation of data. It wasn't about opinion. That's what I think really, I think, propelled him into a different place, was he was actually looking at the data and could it seems to me you can't really argue with actual data from his level of data scientist. So at some point he decided that, you know, that club, that closed club, especially UCLA, takes a lot of money. All the University of California schools do for research, for science, from Gates, from all these people. And he's just looking at the data and seeing something that, you know, apparently you were the only person who really wanted to hear it.
Well, I always want the truth, no matter what it is, because that is the only way forward. And the great thing about Joe, even before the work that we did around trauma, but absolutely now that he's free of all the emotional ties of that trauma, he does not respond emotionally. You can't prey on this man. All the tactics that these people use, the shaming and the fear, they just don't work on him, because he'll say, show me the data.
Right.
Which I love about him.
Yeah.
And I'm a stickler for morality and authenticity and the truth, because frankly, the shadow energy that has been dominating our industries, our organizations, everything about our world for at least hundreds of years, perhaps much longer, it's based on deception. And I think a lot of people have a very tough moment coming when they realize that everything they've ever believed or been taught is based on lies that are designed to manipulate you to produce a particular outcome.
Right.
But so between the two of us, Jill's looking at the data and I'm insisting that we tell the truth because nobody else is. And in fact, that's actually how the whole thing happened is when the lockdown started and I started homeschooling and we had no time for each other anymore, we realized we barely even saw each other. We were like ships in the night. And he was at the hospital more and more, taking care of patients. I was holding everything else down. So we realized we're losing touch with each other. And we found a babysitter who was willing to come near us, even though we weren't masking.
Right, right.
And so once a week on a Tuesday afternoon, we'd go get our takeout and go sit on the beach, because that's all you could do back then.
Right, I know. Wow. At that point, you weren't allowed before that. I remember people getting arrested in Malibu. I lived there for 20 years. I was like, how could that happen? Oh. Amazing. But no, so you guys did that, thank God.
Yeah. And we would just talk about what he was seeing at the time. I was working at Stanford and starting to see some of the same things. I was telecommuting because I had a baby at home.
Right.
So it wasn't quite the same, but still I was hearing from colleagues. And we also had we had moved from New York and then Boston before that. So we had a lot of friends in the hospital systems back there. And we were reaching out saying, are you seeing freezer trucks full of bodies? Because we're not. Do you have packed hospital wards? Because we don't. Because there is that moment where you think, am I crazy? Am I misunderstanding everything about this reality? But sure enough, everybody that I respect was saying the same thing. And we were scouring the media for any mention of even just a shred of an alternate viewpoint. There was nothing. So we decided we had to do something. And out of those conversations, a series of articles was born, and they were published in the Wall Street Journal over the next year and a half. And we had no idea that DeSantis was reading them, or his team, someone was reading them.
Right.
And I came home one day and Joe was standing in the kitchen with a really weird look on his face. I said, babe, got a call today. And then he told me that he'd been invited to be the Surgeon General. And I said, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, wow. That is exactly what I've been waiting for, because I knew that something great was coming for him.
Yeah. But you know, that breakthrough for you guys to sit down and take the risk to write these, and Wall Street Journal putting them out to write these articles. I know you did it together. And it's really, you know, that this changed a lot of the course of what happened. Your articles, and there was very few people, Dr. Zelenko, a couple other people out there, but you guys were very early on. And then that it was published was the biggest surprise. People started to really say, I agree with them. You know, what he's saying is what I'm seeing too. And it started a kind of a ripple effect, I believe. And I don't think I think it has a lot to do with your healing process, but here this comes and you guys have to move your lives again. And there's a lot of situations. So then what happens too, is then, like you said, he's not as after the work that you guys have done as susceptible, but there was a campaign to destroy, to, you know, go after him and you guys and your reputation, his reputation being as good and stellar as it could be in academia and medicine and the degrees and the awards. But they came for you, you know. So how was that? And how was it different, do you think, than had you not dealt with your childhood trauma and your healing before this? Hey guys, thank you for watching the show. I just want to remind you yet again that we really need to be very cautious of what is going on with the economy, both here and internationally. Most of us know that the BRICS nations are looking for a gold-backed currency to dethrone the dollar being the world reserve currency. They have an event coming up on August 22nd. The BRICS nations are all going. There are also 13 other nations that would like to join the BRICS nations. And this is not something to not pay attention to. We have to make sure that you protect your savings. And that is why I have chosen Beverly Hills Precious Metals. That is where I have gotten my gold and silver. I leave it in a depository. I know it's there. I've replaced it with my savings. I've put there to make sure that I weather the storm no matter what, be it the central bank digital currency, the BRICS nations, the dollar goes into collapse, whatever may happen. I know 401k, IRA, backed by gold, as well as having my savings, at least an amount of my savings in gold, in the depository or sent to you at home, is the best way to make sure you maintain peace of mind and make sure that your savings and everything that you've earned is safe no matter what comes. We will get through this. All is not lost. America will return to greatness as it always has been. But between now and then, we have to be very smart and very cognizant of what's going on. So please go to Mel K Gold, or go to the MelKShow.com partners page and go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals. And my friend Andrew will take care of you. He's got a great team. Gold is the way to go right now. And I know that no matter what, I'm safe. So please do that for yourselves. We really care about you here. You're more like family and friends. And I hear from all of you a lot. So I just want to make sure that you guys are doing something proactive to be prepared. All will be well, but take care of yourself now. Being prepared is always a good thing.
And I think I can speak for Joe on this one as well, because we've had this conversation. We both lived with so much fear and shame, and it was constant. Part of it was the sexual abuse, but part of it was also just growing up in a world where we don't honor each other as who we really are. We consider achievements to be checking the boxes that make you acceptable, right? Graduating from this school or that school and getting these grades on a test. And we did all that. We went through that system. But well, that's another story. But it turns out that that is not actually success. And as many know, it's not happiness either. And I remember about 12 years ago, I had a stalker when we were living in New York City. Oh. And one of the things this person did to try and get at me was go online and write some really horrible things. And even though this was a random person who clearly was not well, I took it so personally, and it was full of so much shame that, oh my gosh, I couldn't even go online for a while. I was broken by this. I considered paying one of those companies to remove it, even though now I know you really can't remove anything from the internet. Right. But I was so ashamed of what this crazy stranger thought.
Yeah.
Now, on the other side, though, of dealing with the trauma that creates those triggers, that makes you think, I am not enough, I am not worthy, none of which is true, not for any of us. In the absence of those triggers, now we can deal with what the reality is, which is that the other side, the people that have gone after us so hard and tried to shut us down, they're terrified that somebody might actually listen to us because they cannot keep us enslaved without our consent. The moment people stop buying into all this, it's over. It's like the Wizard of Oz, right? That the curtain comes down. That's the end of that. The House of Cards is no more. And at this point, that is inevitable. And they know it. And I think that one of the reasons God tapped Joe and I for this particular mission, if you will, is because he is so moral. He is so clean. They've tried so hard to find something.
I know. It is true. It is true. And also, you guys have been so open and honest about your childhood trauma, dealing with that trauma, you know, transcending it and building a life beyond it. Now, I want to talk because you do have a lot of stuff in your book about what I get a lot of emails, and I meet people all over the country, and they come to me and they say that they've lost, because whether it was that they were against the vaccine, they weren't buying the COVID stuff, whether it's political, they're Trump people or whatever, they're against whatever it is, that they've lost their family, they lost their friends, like you were saying you did, that they're still desperate and sad that their adult children think they're crazy and cut them off, somebody that they love told them that they no longer can have them in their lives because they voted some way they didn't think. And I get this a lot, and it's very sad, but you know, I think that there is some lessons in there that you've learned that I think are helpful, maybe about what we can control and what we can't control. Cause I think a lot of people don't really get that. And I know you do, that, you know, we don't have to be a slave to that. We can actually turn that around in our minds and not let it destroy us. Cause a lot of people, they hold on to that every day and they feel so sad and it's eating away at them. And it's really not, you know, it's the opposite of what one can do with that kind of situation.
Yeah. And it's a tough one, because those emotions, when someone who is supposed to love you, particularly unconditionally, if it's a parent-child relationship, when someone turns their back on you, that's going to trigger every abandonment issue, every fear, every shame, every thought of I am not good enough that you have. And I think we all have them. It would be very difficult not to at this point in the world. In fact, even if you were simply born in this time and somehow experienced no trauma in your personal life,
seriously,
you would still have everything that you came in with from your ancestry. So we all have this. And in fact, that is why the powers that be chose that shame campaign. You're going to kill your grandmother. You're a terrible person if you do this. That's why they did that. That was not an accident. They've laid the groundwork for that to be effective for generations. And because we want to be good people, right? And most people are. We want to do the right thing. We don't want to hurt somebody else. So it's been a very effective way to manipulate people. And by turning neighbor against neighbor, child against parent, friend against friend, I have to hand it to them. It is evil genius at its, I don't know whether to say best or worst, but it is absolutely genius what they have done. And unfortunately, I think every single one of us at this point has lost somebody. Many of us have lost a lot of people. And I actually write a whole chapter in my book about this, because it is a huge issue and it's affecting everybody. But what I'll say is, first of all, the trauma that we carry around is what is defining your response to someone else's decision, right? So say your partner says that, well, if you're not going to get vaccinated, I can't be with you anymore. Right. And that is deeply hurtful, deeply judgmental. However, how we respond to that is based on our own trauma, our own experience. So if this had happened to me, 5 years ago, let's say, or 10, pre-pandemic, pre my experience with healing, I would have fallen apart the minute one person didn't like me. I had this great fear of not being liked.
Right.
Clearly, I've had to shed that one.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Believe me, I had it my whole life as well. I also spent 20 years in Hollywood, where that's like your whole life is being rejected. Mm-hmm. So I get it. And I'm with you on that front. But yeah, you have to understand that that's deeply embedded. And, you know, that's why I really think that talking about it and giving tools like you do and you do in the book is so important right now, because a lot of people didn't even know it. You and I knew that we had it. A lot of people, I don't think, really did until they started getting rejected by friends and family during this lockdown. And like you said, it was a propaganda, a mind control type campaign to bring up guilt and shame, and that people didn't even know they had.
Yeah, absolutely. And where I landed on that is, first of all, deal with trauma. If you take on your personal trauma, it makes a world of difference in how you respond. Because when that happens, you're really just being triggered all over again by pre-existing trauma that you've never dealt with, right? So when someone leaves you or judges you or yells at you in a grocery store, it could be anything. it's really not the pain of the moment. It's what it's bringing up from 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 50 lifetimes ago.
Right.
Who knows? And so dealing with the trauma and taking on that work is a big part of it. But even in the absence of that, there are so many things that people can do that don't require any special investment, any special skills, any big time, that will actively raise their vibration. And I know a lot of people hear that and they think that's some sort of silly woo-woo. No, this is the reality of not just how we stay safe and how we grow, but it's how we become who we really are. You have to raise your vibration so that you are no longer susceptible to these campaigns of terror.
Right.
You have to literally rise. So because the vibration of manipulation, abuse, fear, shame, it's very low. It's way down here. So if you can raise your vibration so that you don't even exist in a place that is accessible by those frequencies, you're going to have a completely different experience of life. And I give a lot of practical tools and actual advice, what you can do right now. In my book, I explain it very thoroughly,
right,
to start changing your experience today. And the very last section of the book that I write is called Lead by Example, because, you know, I went through this very same thing. I lost so many people, and some were tougher than others. Some were people that I really believed would never have pulled away from me for any reason, much less some nonsense that somebody made up.
Right.
And the worst part is that you can't even have a conversation often, right, about it, because they're so entrenched in fear that it's not logical. So you can't have a factual conversation. There is no logical discourse at all. And they often just disappear. And of course, that's for their own comfort.
Right.
But the only thing you can do in that situation is to lead by example. And that means to take on your own healing powerfully. Step into your own journey. Remember why it is you came here in the first place, and the talents and the skills and the beautiful things that only you possess. Because each of us is here for a reason. We have very special gifts, which is the opposite of what the powers that be like to tell us, right?
Yeah.
They want us to be lemmings, mass-produced, not special. In fact, they have us believing that unless you are making money at something, it's not worth doing,
well,
right?
Yes. So,
yeah. Maybe an artist lights up your soul, right, but it's not your day job. They'll have you believe that it's not worth doing, when the, right, reality is those creative pursuits are part of the key to unlocking your light and, right, reclaiming your soul. So until those people in your life can see for themselves, and the truth is they may or may not, they may awaken, they may not, but we not only have no control over that, but their journey is their journey, and it's actually not our place to interfere.
Right.
And if we can look at it that way, like we're honoring the journey that they clearly need to have for some reason. We don't have to understand it, but it's a choice that they're making. And it's a choice they made at a soul level before they ever came to the earth plane. So they may need another couple go rounds, and that's okay.
Right.
But what we can do is hold the vibration of kindness, right? To cause that ripple effect and make it easier for others to be kind, to hold that vibration of compassion,
yeah,
hold that vibration of empathy. And I think that the best thing that we can do for those people who are still asleep is to be powerfully and unapologetically honest,
right,
about what we believe and why we believe it, and kindly move forward regardless of what they choose to do.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. And the other thing that you brought up, and I think is really important here, is when I first saw, I spent many years in LA, and I was in, I had a lot of friends in recovery, and I knew a lot about that. And when they did the lockdowns, I had friends that I knew when that happened were sober only because they went to meetings and they had fellowship and they had friends. I've had many friends. My sister was a psychiatrist out there, and there were lockdowns in New York too. And I've immediately thought, oh my God, not only will a lot of people that depend on recovery meetings and church and that too, but a lot of people that need gyms and things to stave off depression. I immediately said to Rob, I said, the worst thing that's going to come out of this is suicide and depression and overdose and especially relapse. And you know, in New York, I think in LA too, but in New York, they shut down all the churches and schools, which meant all the recovery meetings. But at the same time, they kept open liquor stores. And in New York, they kept open places that also sell drugs. So I immediately thought, oh my God, these people. And what's happened though, because isolation and loneliness are so damaging and dangerous. And that's where a lot of people find that hope to recover and to rebuild their lives is in fellowship. And be it whether it's in church or somewhere or in recovery meetings or... And I don't know if people have fully regained the concept of community and getting together. I know the powers that be don't want that. I see their metaverse and their 15-minute city plans and all of that. But I do want to talk about how important, and we'll have you back because there's things upcoming that I think you'll be really helpful to get people through that you and I both know are coming and many people don't realize. There's a lot of things ahead in this next year that we'll, you know, we'll have to really remember all of this stuff going through. But I think people have to realize that they need other people. People got very used to being locked down. And I see a lot of people that never got back out, never got back up, aren't going out to restaurants or not, aren't going to the gym or aren't going to the park, or like they got into this space, which I believe that these demonic powers that be that have the stranglehold over all of us, the pandemic planners want that. But so what's your take on community and other people and getting out there again? Because I'm not seeing it happen. It's very slow. People like us never bought into it, but there were people that stayed home for 2 years and don't realize the toll it took.
Oh, yeah. And that's why they locked down. That was actually their greatest weapon.
Yeah.
I can't remember where I read this. I wish I could, but I was reading once about the various types of torture and what leaves the greatest, most tragic imprint on the mind. And it's nothing physical. It is isolation.
Right.
Prison is a great example. Isolation is incredibly damaging, and particularly because we, as humans, we are social beings. Of course, we actually need each other,
right.
But it's even bigger than that. We are involved, well, at least at the level of divine truth, in a oneness consciousness. And all of these things that are pushing us away from each other, the lockdowns and the shame and all these things, this is separation consciousness. It's trying to convince us that we are separate from one another. We don't need each other. And that is all nonsense. I was having a conversation with my beloved boxing coach of many years, who grew up under an authoritarian regime in Brazil. And he was telling me that when he was a boy, I can't remember how old he was, but he was very, very young. And the rule was that no more than two people, children even, could congregate together. So you couldn't talk to two other friends and have a group of three, because that was breaking the law. You could only talk to one other person at a time. And of course, the hope was to prevent them from actually talking to each other, sharing perspectives,
nice,
growing and learning, because then people, they form opinions and become dangerous. So people have to realize that the separation was never for their own good, which is, of course, the bill of goods they were sold. That was never for your benefit. That was for their benefit. Because as you said, we have unquantifiable losses caused by this, the overdoses, the suicides, especially in children. I remember when Joe and I first started doing those Tuesday dates and actually got out into the city, because it took a few months to set that up. So I kind of missed what was going on outside my block and my park.
Right.
The first thing I noticed is that in every corner, there's a billboard advertising delivery liquor,
right,
or marijuana.
I know. Like New York too.
Bringing the agents of disconnection right to your door.
Yeah.
And I thought, they are on a mass campaign to separate us, not only from each other, but from our souls.
Right.
And you know, I'm not judging what people choose to do or use to deal with their pain at all. However, agents of disconnection do push you farther from your divine self. They do create this numbness, right? This comfort with what's going on, even if it really just means shutting it out.
Yeah.
And I think like a lot of people are still there. And that, once again, comes down to choice. I think a lot of people were more comfortable with the isolation and the pandemic than they would have liked to admit, because it gave them something to focus on. Right? A lot of people who were not necessarily happy or fulfilled in their lives before the pandemic, once they had the pandemic to focus on, it almost became like a moral obligation.
I totally agree. That is such a good point. Right. Yeah.
So without that, as it's fading away and they're losing track of the narrative and people are buying into it less and less, these are the people that you see, even in the face of great data, they're doubling down. They're right. Screaming.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's shocking. And it's totally turned around. Like I see people, I just flew home from Kansas City last night and I see people still wearing masks. And we're talking about, you know, two, three. And you're thinking, you know, what world are you living in? Or some of these doctors, especially the ones that got, you know, were experts during the COVID, you know, they're trouble tripling down, or the media. And you're thinking like, why not just be honest now? I just saw Brula from Pfizer put up like a tweet about how proud he was of the 1 year anniversary of something. And I'm thinking like, how are you not at this point? But it's what you're saying. They're at a place where living in the lie is a choice. They are stuck there, and leaving it is too painful, I guess. And I think we have to just start accepting that some people will stay stuck in that because that's what gave them, for whatever reason, meaning or whatever. So that's another thing to remember, that that's not ours either. Because now a lot of people, even I felt it in the airport. I thought like, I want to just tell that woman, like, you don't have to wear a mask, but then, you know, it's not my business. I think we have to remember that too. Like you said, we got to allow other people to have their own journey and realize that it's our boundaries stop at us.
Yeah, absolutely. And at their core, humans need to feel significant, right? We need to feel like we matter. And so for all the people who are either so deeply traumatized, they couldn't form relationships or for whatever reason, unhappy at work or in their personal life, this pandemic gave them something to focus on and a way to show up in the world that with all the virtue signaling and the moral manipulation that made them feel like they mattered. And it actually breaks my heart because people do matter. The truth is, we need them to be who they really are, not this manipulated version of what they've become. But it would be far too scary for a lot of them to drop the mask figuratively and literally.
Exactly.
They're going to have to look at what's really there that did not get.
And like you said, you know, at some point they're going to have to. And when they do, we need to be the right people that we are to be able to accept that with kindness and love and compassion and transcend that too. Can you tell my audience about your book, where to find it, how to get it, and where to find and follow you?
Yes. So the book is available at Skyhorse Publishing and Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Great. And I do have a website. It's just my name, briannalatipo.com.
Great.
And on there, everything, the events and media and book signings. And I work one-on-one with people. I coach children and I coach adults. Okay. So, and I do have some social media that I am really trying to be better about.
I know, I'm terrible at it too. briannalatipo.com. Is that where they can find you?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Great. And the book again, does it have a website, or you just go and look it up on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble or anywhere?
It has. So it is it's featured on my website and it's on Skyhorse Publishing's website,
okay,
but you can
great.
Also look it up at any of the major sellers.
No, I'll put the link down below to your website and people can start there, find a little bit more about you and the work you do. You do amazing work, and we have to understand if we can heal ourselves from the inside out, we can then do a lot more in the world of healing everyone, because right now everyone could use it, and you're amazing and I will see you soon. Thank you so much, Brianna Latipo. I appreciate your work.
Thank you so much for having me on, Mel.
Thank you. The narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel Kay. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is going to look like. I'm going to do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm going to bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week. So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof. It's cancel proof. It's truth. It's transparency. It's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, all I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel Kay, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started. I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better being prepared for whatever's coming. Every day I hear something new. Something's coming from the CDC. Something's coming from the FDA. Who's trying to take over our healthcare system? All this craziness. And what I know is that one man really changed my life, how I look at everything that's happening to me health-wise. And that was Dr. Zelenko. He was a good friend of mine, a good friend of the show. And he came up with the most amazing product. Z-Stack has been a game changer for us. We have not been sick since we've been on it. We take it regularly. If we feel like we're coming down with something, will double up. But he has all new products over at the website. God rest his soul. He did not leave us unprepared, and that is very important for you to prepare. So he's got Z Shield. He's got a Kid Z Stack, which is awesome. He's got Z Flu, Z Detox. He's got all kinds of things. He always said to me, your immune system must be clean, resilient, and resistant. This matters the most. And what I can say on top of that is that he supported me. He supported free speech. He supported medical freedom. He supported personal liberty and everything that I believe in, he believed in. He inspired me to be myself, to speak up, to speak out. And what matters is that you are feeling healthy, whole, clean, clear, focused, and that your immune system is protected from anything that comes our way. And Z-Stack is the best way to do that. Please stock up on Z-Stack. Go to themelkayshow.com. Go to our partners page. Goes down to Z-Stack. That also supports the show. When you buy from our partners, these great people, especially Dr. Zelenko, who is dear to me, you are supporting the show and keeping us going. And I know that truth, freedom, and the First Amendment matter to you. They matter to him. They matter to me. So make sure you're always healthy. You're always out there. You're always standing up. Be brave. Courage is contagious.